I'm Noah Adams. This is Day to Day. With 2 weeks to go before the presidential election, the Supreme Court has become a hot campaign topic. Several print stories speculate about what a Bush or Kerry court could look like. Joining us to help sort out these articles and the issues they raise is Slate and Day to Day legal analyst Dahlia Lithwick. Welcome, Dahlia.
Hi, Noah.
We've heard very little in the campaign coverage about the Supreme Court just until this month, and all of a sudden, here we're talking about it. Why?
I think two things happened, though. I think, first of all, the candidates themselves raised it in the second debate. If you'll recall, particularly, there was Bush's strange rant about the Dred Scott case. Tim Noah said in Slate last week that the Dred Scott reference was really sort of a code to his base, because Dred Scott has become a metaphor for Roe v. Wade among anti-abortion activists. They're both seen as cases dealing with horrible things, slavery analogous to abortion. So I think that the debate sort of flagged the issue for the voters. I also think that voters started to finally make the connection that a lot of those social issues they care about so much, gay marriage, the Pledge of Allegiance, affirmative action, will be more directly affected by who is appointed to the court than who is elected as president.
It seems to be a great deal of just pure speculation. If somebody wins, if somebody retires, if somebody dies, then somebody else has to replace them. What can you do here when so little can be known about who might be replaced by whom?
What happens is the sort of pundits who write these stories tend to rely on the same old chestnuts. Everybody repeats the old chestnut that three seats are up for grabs. Where do we get that number? Well, it's justices who are approximately 80, but that doesn't really mean anything. The other chestnut that pops up over and over again is Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a cancer survivor, even though she's been cancer clear for years, and at least according to her clerks, has never been fitter. So certain things get parroted over and over again.
Is there a difference, though, between the way the Bush and Kerry camps talk about what they might do about the Supreme Court?
Oh, absolutely. More and more, you're going to see pieces by liberal groups saying, you know, alarm, 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 this is the end of abortion. So, for instance, we saw an op-ed in the New York Times this week saying, you know, a Bush Supreme Court is going to make abortion a crime. We're going to see gays in prison. States are going to become mini theocracies. The statistic is being floated by abortion rights groups that if Roe v. Wade were overturned, 30 states would immediately outlaw abortion within a year. So that sort of real alarmist rhetoric on the one side. On the Republican side, you hear a lot of this sort of continued judge bashing that we've heard for the last couple of years from the Republican Party. Everything that's wrong with America is the result of judicial overreaching. These elite liberal judges are imposing their will on the majority, and the only way to get rid of them is appoint strict constructionists.
Having covered the issues here, let's turn to a bit of speculation on our own side. Some names that could be considered, do you think?
The Bush people we're hearing about over and over again tend to be Theodore Olson, who until very recently was the Solicitor General under Bush. The front runner until recently was Alberto Gonzalez, who is the White House counsel for Bush. Gonzalez may have hurt his chances for a Supreme Court position by authoring one of those quote-unquote torture memos this year, suggesting that we might be able to torture terrorists to get information from them. A Kerry court would probably, by definition, be more moderate because Kerry couldn't confirm extreme left-wingers. The sorts of people we hear about are Walter Dellinger, former Solicitor General under Clinton, and some speculation about someone like Kathleen Sullivan, who's quite young, the former dean of Stanford Law School, who is one of the really great legal minds of our time.
Opinion and analysis from Dahlia Lithwick, who writes the jurisprudence column for Slate. Thanks, Dahlia.
My pleasure.